And Major League Baseball is announcing their schedule, and we are still trying to find out the Jays' schedule, but we do have a couple little factoids. They will play, they will take two trips to Florida to face the Rays, so 7 out of the 10 games will be in Florida, and their start to the season, so the first week of the season, will be the third toughest schedule if you base the records off of 2019. And with more on baseball and the Blue Jays, we're joined by Jared Carrabas from Barstool Sports. Jared, how are you today?
How's it going, guys? How are we doing?
We're good. We're really happy to have you on the show. And it really seems like you're endearing yourself to Blue Jay fans lately.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a number of the new Blue Jays on the podcast. Josh Donaldson is a good friend. I know that he's still very much loved in Toronto. Yeah, I mean, Marcus Stroman, another guy. I'm very excited for what's happening with baseball in Toronto. And I've said many times that baseball in Toronto, when the Blue Jays are good, that is one of the most electric cities going in the league.
Well, and you saw it in 2015 and 16 where, you know, we all up in Toronto and in Canada kind of complain about the dome being a little archaic and it's a concrete jungle, but it gets loud and the atmosphere is great. And, you know, not many people in a normal setting expected the Blue Jays to be competitive this year, but 60 games, it almost feels like anyone can be competitive this season. And you listed them as a team that you're excited to see what they can do this year. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a huge advocate of Vladdy Jr., and we talked to Kevin Biggio, that young core. I mean, like, that young core outside of the White Sox, you're talking about two of the most young, exciting cores in baseball. And I kind of look back to the Kansas City Royals teams that went to the World Series in 14 and 15. You have these groups of guys that they came up the ranks together in the minors, and then it all came together at the major league level. And, you know, they get to the World Series in 14 and finally get over the hump in 15. I can totally see that happening in Toronto. I can see that these guys are going to be universally all contributors at the major league level. I think I actually had the Blue Jays were a dark horse of mine to sign Gerrit Cole. I think that Gerrit Cole was a guy that it just made so much sense if they went out and if you were ever going to spend the money, now's the time to do it. So I think obviously the Yankees were the heavy favorite and he ended up there. But if there was ever a time for the Blue Jays to pull the trigger on a big free agent acquisition, I think that that's the guy that you make the statement and say, you know, we're going for it. But I still think that the Blue Jays are going to be a force to be reckoned with even without a guy like Gerrit Cole.
Jared, with a 60-game season, is it almost the naivety of a young team that doesn't know any better? And, you know, I played for a real young team in the mid-'80s with the Flyers, and we didn't really know any better. We just went ahead and went to the finals. I mean, almost by not knowing what it took to get there.
Right, that's it. And in a 60-game season, something like that can happen because, you know, we mentioned the Yankees. That's a team that when you have all these expectations and you've spent the money and they got within a game of the World Series, but then you've seen the Nationals last year. They got off to a very slow start. Teams that do that, despite how good they may be, you don't have the time to recover. So that opens up the door for a team like the Blue Jays. I mean, if these guys are out there and they know that people are going to be talking about the Yankees, people are going to be talking about the Tampa Bay Rays, and if they don't get off to the starts that they need to get off to in order to have a successful and sustained success over 60 games, you could see a team that is young and that is just going out there and having fun because that's what the expectation is. I mean, I don't think that many people are saying, oh, this is the year that the Blue Jays put it together and get into the postseason. I think that they see that in the future for sure, but is it possible to sneak in there when you do have a 60-game season? I definitely do think so.
He is the host of the Starting Nine podcast. He's also an MLB writer for Barstool Sports. Jared Carrabas joining us on Overdrive. And the most popular word to describe testing in Major League Baseball today was a complete mess. Are we overreacting by seeing what we did see today? Or is this maybe an example of why it's going to be so tough and almost impossible for Major League Baseball to pull off what they're trying to pull off with this 60-game season?
Yeah, I definitely think the logistics behind it, that was always going to be an issue because I just didn't think that they were going to be entirely prepared for what it would take to facilitate having a major league season. You know, obviously this is very new to everyone. There's really no protocol that they can kind of just jump into that previously existed. They kind of had to come up with something from scratch. And I think we're kind of seeing right now the obstacles that are in front of these teams, the league, in order to execute a season. I did not expect this to go off without a hitch. I didn't see it. So if anything, I'm kind of, in a way, glad that it's happening now, because you're obviously going to have these learning experiences and you can make adjustments while teams are in quote unquote summer camp. I would rather have these bumps in the road now than have them happen during the season when you're talking about having a major league schedule that you have to follow. And if you do have these specific teams that have to shut down their training facilities because, oh, we don't have enough tests, or the test results didn't come back the way that we wanted them to, or the tests are taking too much time to come back, so practice is canceled or practice is optional. You can't have optional baseball games. You can't have games get canceled because of testing. So I think now is the time for them to figure this out and see what works, see what doesn't work, so that by the time the schedule starts in July 23rd, 24th, then now you're kind of cooking with gas.
You know, there are so many questions, Jared, about return to play. And when this all started, when no one knew how long seasons were going to be, and it seemed to me, from a practical standpoint, like the hub system, with the way some of those spring training facilities are built, would have been perfect for baseball. To put half the league in each of a couple of hub cities with, you know, where teams surround an area, and you had multiple ballparks, and it seemed to me it would have been perfect. But that was when they were talking a much longer season. Do you think if they had a revisionist look at it and they said we're only going to be 60 games, that the hub might have fit better with baseball?
Yeah, I think the issue is you're going to get a lot of these veteran players that, you know, they'd like David Price, perfect example. You know, you have a guy in his mid-30s. He's got two young kids. He's married. He's won a World Series. He's won a Cy Young Award. He's made his money. And it's like, well, at the end of the day, I'm just going to decide that it's not worth it. Like, if they don't want their families to be living with them in these, you know, little mini cities that they're talking about, then every player has the right to opt out. And, of course, if you're not a high-risk player, then you don't get paid. But what about the guys that really don't care if they don't get paid because they already have their tens of millions of dollars in the bank, so it's an easier decision for them. But those are the players that fans want to see. The guys that are making the big money, those are the stars. And I think the stars are the players that everyone tunes in. Of course, you're going to support your team regardless, but you're tuning in to watch the stars. So if you have a less favorable scenario that big-name players want to participate in, then you might run into a problem where now guys are opting out left and right, not because of the virus or whatever else. It's now I just don't want to like live in that situation. But I do think that I don't want to call it likely, but I think that it's certainly possible that we could see something like that for the postseason. I think if we're talking about a second wave, or we're talking about numbers spiking because of the summer and everyone being out and about, by October, I think that there is a chance that we might see the postseason played at a neutral site, which wouldn't be the worst idea. I think it'd actually be, you know, and Scott Boras talked about this. This is actually his idea, to have like a World Series week where it's kind of like the Super Bowl and they have it in like a different city or whatever. But I think for this particular year and under these circumstances, that you could see something like that for the postseason.
You know, it's tough to talk about silver linings right now, but if they're able to play out this year and crown a World Series champion for a sport that has been so stubborn with its traditions and unwilling to embrace some of the rule changes that they are incorporating because of, you know, the situation in the world right now, do you think this is a positive for baseball as they try to attract a younger fan base that isn't maybe inclined to sit and watch a baseball game for 3.5 hours?
Yeah, I think it's a catch-22. I think that there's some negatives and some positives. I think the negatives are obviously that it would have been nice if they had gotten to this agreement sooner and that they weren't fighting over money while people were dying. I think that was sort of a big turnoff for baseball fans, but on the positive side, I think that a 60-game season, it's something new. It's something different. And could it be exciting? Absolutely. Like we talked about earlier, you know, if you do have these, you know, these big market teams like the Yankees or whoever that get off to slow starts and they can't recover, then you could see these surprise teams just get hot for a 60-game stretch, come out of nowhere. And now you have a postseason picture where there's a bunch of teams in there that maybe you haven't seen before. Maybe it's a glimpse at the future where it's like, well, maybe the Blue Jays wouldn't have made the postseason over a 162-game season, but they got hot for the first 60 games, and here we are. Now they have a shot at a title in 2020, where that wouldn't have been the case without the pandemic. So I think with you know, the idea of no fans, and I know that some owners have talked about maybe at some point we'll be able to have fans in the stands. I don't know how realistic of an idea that is. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of a turnoff as a baseball fan to not be able to go to the games. But a lot of people are still quarantining. They're still at home. So when you're at home, what are you going to do? Live sports. Great. Maybe I'll get someone that might have been a fringe or a casual baseball fan that maybe they fell off. Like, well, you know, I'm not out at the bar this weekend. Maybe I'll turn on the baseball game. So mm-hmm. there's definitely negatives involved here, but there's certainly positives as well.
Jared Carrabas from Barstool Sports joining us on Overdrive. And, you know, you're a Boston guy. You used to cover that team a lot. I know you cover the whole league now, but you know, the obvious question could be, well, do you miss Mookie Betts? I'm not going to ask you that question. I'm going to ask you, do you miss Pablo Sandoval?
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't. I really genuinely just don't like Pablo Sandoval. I don't like him at all. Yeah, this kind of blew up on Twitter the other day, and I didn't think that it was going to blow up the way that it did, but I honestly don't care. I think, you know, with that guy, everyone was like, well, you got to stop fat-shaming Pablo Sandoval, and that's so mean. And it's like, well, do you think I'm doing that because of what he looks like physically, or do you think I'm doing that because of other reasons? Like, maybe I just genuinely don't like the guy because of his attitude in Boston and the way that he carried himself and some of the things that he said in the media. I mean, there's layers to the bad taste in my mouth that I have for his tenure in Boston, and he's an easy target. So he's kind of been my arch nemesis for about 5 years now. It's kind of like Madison Bumgarner and Yasiel Puig. Well, just any time that we cross paths, we're going to get into a fight, and we crossed paths on the 4th of July, and it turned into a big Twitter war. So it's I'm actually undefeated in that regard. So I don't think he would have much of a leg to stand on if he wanted to come back and retort.
Are you also not a big fan of pandas in general, or is it this just Pablo?
I think it's just Pablo. Okay. I think if I ever saw a real panda in real life, I'd probably pet him. Maybe give him some bamboo. Is that what they eat? Is that bamboo?
Yes.
I'd probably give him some bamboo. But Pablo Sandoval, we've never crossed paths before. I would love to have a conversation with him if he's open to it.
Well, until that happens, you'll just have to have more great conversations with Josh Donaldson and current Blue Jays. And I know the market here loves your work and loves listening to those podcasts, the Starting Nine podcast, and also all your work on Barstool. Jared Carrabas, thanks so much for joining us here on Overdrive.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And hopefully, maybe as the season progresses, the Blue Jays start making some noise, we can do this again.
Yeah, we would love that. And we would just love some baseball right now at this point. But I appreciate it, Jared. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
And there you have it. Not a big fan of Pablo Sandoval, as you could see. But
yeah, it's interesting. I played with a rather famous player who, you know, his conditioning was always in question in Philadelphia, and that was John Kruk. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, a story about someone walking up to him one day and said, you know, you're a disgusting athlete, or you're a disgusting example of a professional athlete. And he said, I'm not an athlete. I'm a baseball player.
Right.
Very simply.
There are two sides of the, you know, because you look.
The legend of John Kruk.
He mentioned Yasiel Puig, like him or not, there's an athlete. You know, there's some pretty great athletes in baseball. But anyways, we're still
a pretty good spot between Baumgartner and Puig to
yeah.
go after.
Yeah, it's not like he's not going after the minor leaguers, is he?
No.
He's really going,
he's going after the rock stars.
Yeah, the big names. So the schedule in Major League Baseball being released as we speak right now. Still looking for the Blue Jays schedule, and it may have come out. But it looks like game times for the Jays would be at 6:40 Eastern. They'd be a little bit earlier. So that's you get to bed a little bit earlier, I guess.